Hello and welcome to Jogging for Cake, the Couch to 5K podcast for fat lazy bastards. If you haven't listened to the previous recordings, please make sure you go and do that before listening to this recording. So, welcome back to week 8, day 1 of Jogging for Cake. Oh my fucking god, we are on week 8. We have got 2 weeks and then we are finished. And your journey towards a 5K or running for 30 minutes solid is complete. Happy fucking days. So as usual, let's get into that 5 minute brisk warm-up walk. So hopefully you haven't noticed because you've been doing this recording solid, but I have actually had probably another month break from the time of recording week 7, and I did have a little break in between 6 and 7, but I've had quite a significant break, again, mainly because I can't be arsed and I was busy living my life. It was my birthday, I went away for a couple of days, I went out on the piss too many times, and I haven't actually done that much jogging, to be fair. But I'm feeling much more empowered now, and I've got 2 weeks to get you through towards the end. But as I said, hopefully you didn't notice, because hopefully you didn't have a month gap like me in between week 7 and week 8. If you did have a month gap, then I would suggest possibly going back to week 7 and just making sure that you're comfortable with week 7 before starting week 8. But yeah, carry on with that warm-up walk and I will check in with you soon. As always, a massive thank you to everybody that's got in touch through Instagram or who has emailed me. Really appreciate it. I had a really nice message the other day from somebody who lives, you know, on the other side of the world saying, thank you very much. This podcast has changed my life. And that's fucking awesome. And that's exactly what I'm here for. So yeah, thank you very much. If you do want to get in touch, you can get in touch on Instagram. My handle is joggingforcake, or you can email me at joggingforcake@gmail.com. Please give us a subscribe. Please give us a rating on iTunes or whatever your podcast provider is. We're on those Amazon thingies now. I can't say the word because mine will light up and talk to me and I don't want it to. You can get this podcast anywhere, and please share this podcast with all of your mates. You know, especially as we're coming into the winter months now, people are looking for something to do. Tell them to start jogging. They could be running a 5K before they know it. So in week 7, you ran or jogged for 25 minutes solid. Let's just take a moment to appreciate how fucking awesome that is. If you think back 7 or 8 weeks ago, you may not have even been able to jog for a minute without, you know, wanting to keel over. So to now go for jogging 25 minutes is absolutely incredible. You know, it's astounding. In week 8, just letting you know what's coming up. So we've got obviously 3 days as we do every week. Make sure you have a rest day in between. So in each day, you'll be running for 27 minutes solid without a break. So a 27-minute jog. So we're almost at that 30-minute jog, and that is our goal. Next week, we'll be building up to your 30-minute uninterrupted jog or run. So happy days. So you've got a couple of minutes left of this warm-up walk. Make sure it's nice and brisk, and I will check in with you when it's time to start your first jog of the day. So we're coming up now to your jog. I was going to say your first jog of the day because I'm so used to saying it, but it's your only jog of the day. So there's a positive. So this jog is for 27 minutes, okay? So it's 2 minutes longer than the jog you did last week. Might not sound like much, but I think that you'll know that when you get to the end of the jog, another 2 minutes can seem quite daunting. But just remember those golden jogging for cake rules, which is take it slow and just remember, be mindful of your breathing. And just take it nice and slow. I cannot stress that enough. So if you are ready, 3, 2, 1, off you go. So over the last couple of weeks, I've talked about things ranging from Strava wankers to jelly babies. So it's been quite difficult. It's quite a challenge to think of things to discuss and talk about that I think that, you know, other people in my position may be interested in. And to be honest, I'm really, really at a loss, as you can tell by week seven, days two and three. Next week in week nine, we have got an interview with a really good friend of mine who I'm really, which I'm really looking forward to sort of editing and getting out there. Recorded that yesterday and it was really good, and I think it'll be really beneficial for everybody who's in your position now, who will be in week nine of the Couch to 5K program and looking for tips on how to go forward. But we're not there yet, so I've got three more days, including this one, to talk absolute shite to you. So in this episode, I'm going to be discussing a half marathon, and I'm going to talk you through my half marathon experience. Just before I start, there's a few things I need to clear up. Just for information, I did Cardiff Half Marathon. The reason for that was it was the one that was closest to where I live. I am not in any way being sponsored or being asked by Cardiff Half Marathon or its organisers to talk about this. In fact, they have no idea. If they do want to sponsor me, then happy fucking days. Get in touch, drunkfic@gmail.com. I'm not being sponsored by anybody. I've not been paid or, you know, anything at all to write this. I'm just purely thinking, like, I fucking can't think of anything else to say, to be honest. And I thought it'd be really interesting, hopefully, for you guys to listen to what it's like for a fat, lazy fuck like me to do a half marathon with no training. Also have to say as well before I start talking about it that I'm not in any way, shape or form telling you to do a half marathon. If you want to, that's up to you. Make sure you take the proper advice. This is just what I did because I'm a fucking maniac, to be honest. So yeah, that's a couple of minutes gone of your jog anyway. So let's talk about why I did a half marathon. To be honest, I have absolutely no fucking idea. I just thought it would be a really good challenge. Just to give you some context, as you already know, I had absolutely no jogging experience. I couldn't jog for more than 30 seconds without getting a stitch. And stupidly signed up for a half marathon that was possibly 7 months away, I think, something like that. It wasn't long at all. I thought, oh, this would be fine, be a piece of piss. It's, you know, 13.1 or 2 miles, whatever it is. Yeah, I can do that, no problem. So, as you know, I did the Couch to 5K program. Side along with that as well, just for a bit more context, I decided to raise some money for Macmillan. My mum had suffered from breast cancer and beaten it, thankfully. Macmillan had been absolutely amazing and are a charity, you know, really sort of close to my heart. So I thought I would raise some money for Macmillan. So I did have that driver as well. And that really did keep me going. So I just wanted to mention that for context. As I was training and as I was sort of thinking, oh God, why am I doing a half marathon? That kept me going. So that is just some background. I'm not going to talk you through my training plan, mainly because I didn't have one. As you know, I did the Couch to 5K and that got me into jogging, and then I just sort of went for it. But hey ho, anyway, so we've woken up and it's race day. Actually, no, before that, the lead up to it, the first couple of days, I remember thinking, shit, I can't run 13 miles. The furthest I'd ran was 8.5 miles before a half marathon, which I was amazed with and I'm still chuffed with today. But that was the furthest I'd ran up until then. And I remember thinking, oh shit, you know, I can't believe I've done this. And I'd been out of action for like a month before because I'd hurt my foot and it was still a little bit sore, so I hadn't run at all. I woke up on the day and I remember waking up really early because I stupidly decided I was going to drive there in the morning. It's two hours away from me and it was really busy, so it took about 2.5 hours. So I got up at like 5:30, 6, which is not natural for me. I remember having breakfast. It was like maybe Weetabix or porridge or something like that. I didn't want anything too much, so I didn't want to increase the risk of shitting myself. I've got issues with that when you're jogging. I took a little running belt with me, one of those little bum bags, which was actually filled with jelly babies. I remember having a running armband with my phone in. I didn't have an activity tracker at that time, so I wanted to use my phone to put Strava on or Map My Run or another running app that would record my stats. And I remember thinking, oh shit, it's going to run out of battery because it's going to be a significantly long run. So I had 2 power packs and a charging lead in my running armband, and if you look at pictures you can see that my left arm where my running pack was is like twice the size of my right arm. And I remember thinking, oh shit, it's not gonna work, because I was definitely leaning towards the left that day. That was a pain in the ass. So yeah, got there, parked the car, whatever. I was meeting my friend and her wife, who her wife was participating in the half marathon as well, so I sort of walked to meet them, so that was fine. Sort of knew where I was going and was in my full running kit. Gave my friend my car keys when we met, and I was feeling pretty good then. I think I was so excited. I remember thinking, oh, I'm just really excited because the day had finally come. I wasn't actually feeling very scared or I was a bit nervous, but it was definitely excitement and determination that got me through. So the first thing I'd say is, oh my fucking God, the crowds of people. Cardiff's quite a busy city because it's quite small, there's a lot of people there. But the crowds there on the day were mad, and the atmosphere was absolutely electric, whether you were, you know, running in the race or you're just watching the race. It was absolutely phenomenal. So yeah, we sort of parted ways with our friends then, who we'd met up with, and myself and my friend's wife, we went off to the little holding pen. And I remember thinking, well, it's actually weird thinking about it now, because this was before coronavirus and social distancing existed, so it would never happen now, but we were all just in this holding pen. I think there was something like 20,000 runners on that day, and you go off in stages, so you have like the elite fucking runners that go first and they get to start first and wear different coloured bibs, and then you get like the, you know, semi-elites, and then you get the fatties like me in the back. But yeah, loads and loads of crowds. So not to bore you with all of that, it was awesome. I just remember it taking forever, and I thought I'd been for a pee before, and then thinking, oh well, I need a pee now, because I was like a nervous pee, but I thought, well, it's too late, I've either got to wait until the end or I'm gonna piss myself. So I thought I'll wait until the end. So yeah, you start running, the klaxon thingy goes off and you start jogging. The first few miles, I'm going to be totally honest, I have absolutely no fucking recollection of. I would say definitely up to like sort of mile 5. I just don't remember. I think it was because I was really lucky. The weather was like quite fair. It was quite sunny. It wasn't majorly cold. It was the start of October, just for context. But yeah, I really don't remember much. It must have been the adrenaline. I remember having loads of adrenaline. When I look back, my memory tells me it was like quite leisurely. So I was sort of like, I think I must have been just soaking in all the atmosphere, because it was it was almost like momentous for me. I remember reminding myself to go slow, and just constantly, like I do with you guys that are listening, just constantly reminding myself to slow down. And I also remember that because there were so many people, and they were people from all abilities, you know, there were people that were fast, there were people that were slow, the people that were walking, it was really hard to train your brain to just remember that it was just you and you weren't racing with anyone, because there were people that you wanted to keep up with, or you know, people that you were maybe going slower than you, than I was going, and I had to remember that it was just me. So I just had to sort of keep running and not, and there were people that I knew as well, quite a lot of people I know in the crowd, a lot of people I knew were racing, and it was hard not to stop and say, hey, how are you? You just had to sort of smile and keep going. But the crowds definitely carried me through that bit, and I think the one of the best parts of that race was the crowds, and I'll talk about that in more detail a bit later. But yeah, the first few miles, the first 5 miles, I can't fucking remember at all, to be honest, and it was okay. So if I go to sort of mile 5 or 6, and the adrenaline is still there, but it's starting to sort of wear, and I remember starting to tire a little bit, and obviously my body just had that big shock on my brain, that adrenaline's sort of gone now. And I started to realise, like, oh, fuck, I'm actually doing this. It had taken that long for my brain to sort of catch up with the excitement of the morning. And I thought, I'm actually doing this. And not only am I doing this, I'm a third of the way through, you know. And I felt, like, elated and chuffed, but I also felt really fucking scared. Mile 6, then, so you're almost halfway through, was over, it's called a barrage, so it goes from one part of the city to another across the river, and it's awesome, but it's really fucking long. I remember standing at one end, or as I was jogging, at one end of the barrage, looking over towards the other end, thinking, oh my fucking god, how the fuck am I going to do this? And there are runners everywhere, and that's the place that I walked many times, just leisurely, you know, on an evening walk or on a Sunday morning or whatever. But yeah, it was really, really long. And by the time I got to the end of the barrage, which I think is about 3/4 of a mile, the route I'm thinking, I was really tired by then. And I thought, oh shit, you know, I'm not going to do it. And that was when the first bits of self-doubt really crept in. And I remember being very surprised at how extreme those feelings were. As you get to the other end of Cardiff Bay Barrage, you come into Cardiff Bay with the Millennium Centre. If anyone's from the UK, they'll know. We're about to, I mean, it's the bit on the Welsh News, if anybody watches that, the background. And there, the crowds are so strategically placed, and so, you know, music and this singing, clapping, you know, the organisers of Cardiff Half, they definitely realise that that's where most people will really need a boost. So that feeling that I had before I got there was just gone straight away, and the crowds were absolutely fucking awesome. And that was weird, because I was running in a Macmillan vest. That was where the Macmillan crowds were sort of assembled, so you could see them in their green. And because I had my name on my back, they all shouted my name, and that really, I know they do that for everyone, but that really, really did sort of carry me through. I was flagging a little bit, but that certainly got me through that bit. Anyway, I'm boring now, and I don't know why I've recorded this podcast, because I realise how fucking boring it is. So yeah, I'd done 6 miles. Oh my fucking god, I'd passed the 6 mile mark, and you know, thinking back now, I was thinking, right, okay, the most I've done is 8.5 miles, so I know I can do it. And I'm quite a stubborn and determined person, so I thought, well, if I can do that 8.5 miles before, I'm definitely doing it today, so no excuses, Dan. So yeah, I got to mile 8, and I remember thinking, oh shit, a hill. Cardiff is very, very conveniently flat. It's a very flat city. And then there was this hill. Oh my god. It started to hurt. It wasn't a massive hill, but it was gradual, and I remember thinking, shit, I'm in pain. But I still knew that I'd done it before. I'd done 8.5 miles. I'd beaten that target before, and I was going to carry on and do it. Yeah, so pretty savage, but the crowds, as I said, were still pretty decent. You know, I say pretty decent, they were fucking awesome, actually. The crowds really carry you through, and you know that you can't stop. I didn't have any intention of stopping at that point. Just as a sort of side note, my friend's wife, who I said at the start of this podcast, who had done this race before, we were talking, you know, prior to this, and I remember having a conversation, and she said something like, you're going to go to really dark places in your head. And I thought that was a very strange thing to say about a half marathon or a race. When I got to sort of mile 9, mile 10, oh my fucking god, I 100% knew what she meant. The self-doubt then really, really, really started. And I remember feeling sort of every emotion that you could possibly feel in the space of, you know, it felt like 3 hours, but it was probably the space of 3 minutes. You know, I felt chuffed, I felt pleased, I felt proud, I felt sad, I felt angry, I felt sore, not sure if that's an emotion. I felt like I hated myself, felt like I loved myself. It was really, really bizarre. And when you look around, when you're sort of 10 miles in to, you know, it's a really long way, you look around at other people's faces and you can see and feel the emotion on their faces, and you can sort of see and feel that, like, when people are in pain and they want to keep going. It was really, really fucking savage. I remember that vividly at that sort of mile 9 to 10 mark that I thought, shit, I can't do this. But physically, I felt okay. I was tired. I wasn't out of breath because I'd paced myself, I'd gone slow, kept like a nice pace. And physically, I was all right at that point, I thought. I was not out of breath or anything, which is, you know, a real killer. But I was just tired and fatigued. So, yeah, I think I'd definitely eaten all my jelly babies by this point. And I remember having to swap battery packs just in case my phone died. And that was quite fiddly when you're still jogging. And then I got to the... I remember this clear as day. There were markers everywhere that measured your kilometres and your miles. And I purposely didn't look at the kilometres because they're like a bigger number. So I got to mile 11. Bearing in mind, I had 2.2 miles left. And I think, yeah, I actually had tears in my eyes at that point because all of a sudden, my ankle, my left ankle, which was my bad ankle anyway, I don't know what happened, but the noise it made, I honestly thought that I'd broken it there and then. I thought that it had snapped clean in two. And the pain was absolutely horrific to the point where it sort of took... It winded me almost. And I had nothing like left in me to sort of run, if that makes sense. I couldn't push myself forward anymore. So I hobbled and I hobbled and I hobbled, and I all these thoughts went through my head. And in the end, I sort of convinced myself, of course your ankle's not broken, you know, because it hurts, but it doesn't hurt as much as a broken ankle. You're fine, you're fine, you're fine. And then all these thoughts going through my head, like, shit, what am I doing here? I'm really out of my depth. The pain was absolutely horrific. And I was like sort of switching between a walk and a hobble and a walk and a hobble and a run, trying to jog. It was horrific. And I thought, fuck this, I'm giving up, I'm going home. And I actually went and fucking sat on the curb. I just walked, instead of going forward, I walked across all the runners and I sat on the curb and put my head in my hands, and it was fucking horrific. And I went to that dark place in my head that I had heard about before. And oh my God, thinking about it now, I'm getting a bit wobbly. It was awful. And you know those times where you just want to have a word with yourself and someone says, oh, for fuck's sake, have a word with yourself. And that is what I did. And I have had a word with myself and I thought, you have got, you know, less than 2 miles, I think, to go now. Just fucking do it. But it wasn't enough at the time. It wasn't enough. And the next bit's really, really cheesy. I got up. And I did walk, actually. I walked for a good, I would say, 10, 15 minutes, and I limped. My left foot was so sore, and the pain was everywhere. It was horrific. And I limped. And then I got sort of over the brow of this sort of hill roundabout-y thing. And on the corner, I saw my mum, who was there with their friends, cheering people on. My mum had no idea where I was. You know, was obviously knew I was doing it, but had no idea. There was no tracker or anything, so she didn't know where I was. And this sounds really cheesy, but then I remembered that she'd been through breast cancer and chemo and radiotherapy, and millions of other people have been through so much worse than a sore fucking foot on a lovely Sunday morning. And that sort of carried me through, as cheesy as that is, and I've never said that to my mum, but I probably should. That carried me through. So I went and had a chat, and I was almost like trying not to cry and say, Mum, I want to go home. And I just did it, and I carried on. And before I knew it, I was at mile 12, and it was the last mile, and that feeling mixed with the fucking pure stubbornness and determination definitely carried me through. But the last mile, and mile 12, as everybody knows, in Cardiff Half, is a fucking hill. Now, when you're driving up this hill, it takes less than 10 seconds. Even if you did 10 miles an hour, it's 10 seconds and you're there. Probably less than that. It's not a hill at all. When you've just ran for 12 miles, that hill is like climbing Kilimanjaro with no toes. It's fucking awful. And I thought, I can't get up there. I can't. And then that sort of thing, and everyone's shouting your name, come on, you can do it, you can do it, you can do it. I thought, I'm going to do it. If I have to crawl, if I have to use my fingernails to peel myself up that hill, I'm going to do it. So I walked and I looked around and everyone was walking, so it was fine. Even the people that were like really super fit and had, you know, really thick calves and big six packs, they were all walking too. So I thought, oh, this is fucking easy, no problem. And I remember thinking, I will crawl this if I have to. And yeah, you got over that hill and I remember seeing this like a long stretch and you can see the finish line. And not only that, you can hear the finish line as well. So you can hear people's names being called out and you can sort of see in the distance like this big, you know, electric board which says your name and your time. And it was just like, holy shit. And at that point, I did actually cry. I don't know whether it was relief or pain or just exhaustion, but there were massive tears in my eyes that were coming down my face. It was mad, really cheesy thinking about it now. And I've never experienced a feeling like it, but I just remember thinking, I have to get to that finish line because I have raised money and people have given me their hard-earned cash to do this, and I'm going to fucking do it. And by fuck, I did. And there are photos of me at the finish line, running towards the finish line. And you can actually see, like, I don't even look like myself in those photos because I just had my eyes on finishing and that was it. My brother and three of my friends were more or less next to the finish line. Apparently, I looked them all in the eyes and not had a conversation with them, but responded to them. I have absolutely no recollection of that to this day. I don't know if, you know, if I'd have even noticed if the Queen was standing there, you know, with her pants on her head in front of me. I definitely wouldn't have even acknowledged it. I remember thinking, I've got to get there and I've just got to lie down and, I don't know, just collapse. But yeah, so I did and I don't remember it really. And when you finish in that race, even though the people that I wanted to see had about the finish line, you have to just keep going. You can't just finish and stop. You have to like sort of keep walking. It's really good, obviously, because that warm down walk. So you feel like you're walking for fucking ages. So you sort of finish, you grab your bag with your medal and your t-shirt and whatever in and loads of goodies from the finish line. And then you just got to keep walking. And I was walking for what felt like miles. So I sort of, all those feelings that I had about, you know, the jubilation, oh my God, I'm proud of myself, they were all sort of like drowned out because I was just fucking walking. And I remember thinking, oh, I don't want to walk anymore. I just want to lie down and just collapse. And you're sort of on your own, even though there's loads of people around you, you're still just sort of on your own because they don't let the people who are viewing the race into that area because there's obviously lots of different things you can go to. I remember just thinking, I gotta get out of here. I just don't know what I need, but I gotta get out of here. So I went and I finally got to the end after what felt like, you know, 3 fucking hours after getting to the actual end. And I remember just sitting down, or it was more like flopping down next to a statue, trying to take off my shoes and just not even having the energy to reach. So I waited, and then I waited, got my phone, couldn't really do that. That seemed like it took forever. Rang my brother, where the fuck are you? He was like, oh, well done. I was like, I don't care, just take my fucking shoes off for me. So I told him where I was. I met them and everyone was like, well done. And I just thought, fuck off, I don't care. It was such a strange thing to say, but that's how you feel at the time. And they were saying, stand up, let's take a photo of you with your medal. And I just thought, fuck off before I kill you. But no, in all seriousness, it was fucking awesome. It was really difficult. It was really fucking challenging. And psychologically, it was a huge challenge for somebody who wasn't a jogger at all. After I'd sort of recovered a little bit and had a bit of rest and I'd eaten my banana and had a drink, I had that feeling of, you know, just pure like, oh my god, I can't believe I did it. I was so proud of myself. It was quite emotional, just in terms of the sort of like fundraising and the reasons for doing it, and you know, they'll be personal to whoever does something like that. And yeah, you just sort of get swept up in it then. And yeah, that was really half marathon day. And the day after that half marathon, I signed up for this year's, which is at the time of recording supposed to be this Sunday, but it's been postponed because of coronavirus, sadly. But yeah, I cannot wait to do that again and have that feeling, as awful as it was. Fucking hell, what an experience. So if anybody is thinking of signing up to a race and you've never done it, that was my first race, absolutely I would advise doing it. It will, you know, it definitely changed sort of my outlook on myself. People take the piss all the time that I talk about it and, you know, oh, did you know Dan did a half marathon, blah blah blah. I don't give a shit, because, you know, that was something that was such a achievement for me. And I know people who do them, you know, on the bloody on a monthly basis, and good for them, but you know, that's not how I chose to live my life. So I'm just, you know, chuffed myself that I did it. So if you are thinking of doing that, obviously train properly, but fucking hell, definitely do it. Yeah, I've actually talked shit again for the whole of your 27-minute run, so you can now slow down to that recovery walk. I know you've just ran for 27 minutes, but I just spoke for 27 minutes and my throat is like really sore now. So definitely going to have a glass of wine. A massive well done. Really, really make sure now that you go into that brisk recovery walk, okay? You want that nice warm down walk. You don't want to start seizing up now, especially when you've come so far. A huge, huge well done for today. I'm going to shut up for a couple of minutes and just let you listen to that lovely, soothing YouTube-free music, and I'll check in with you in a sec. As always, don't forget to take your sweaty selfie and upload it with the hashtag #joggingforcake. I will share all of them, and you know, if you want to drop me a message, please do. I love hearing all your stories and seeing all your sweaty selfies. Take a picture of your trainers, take a picture of your view that you can see, take a picture of the treadmill, wherever you are, whatever you're doing, just make sure you share it with the world. Be fucking proud of yourself. Drop us an email, joggingforcake@gmail.com. Would love to hear your thoughts, your feedback, your stories. You know, it really does sort of make my day and makes it all worth it. Sitting here on a Sunday night talking into my phone for half an hour and then editing for, you know, 2 hours. It really does make it worth it. So yeah, if anybody has got any questions about what it's like to be a famous half marathoner, then let me know and I will fucking find someone who knows, because it certainly ain't me. But no, if you've got any questions or whatever, please get in touch, definitely. But for now, just make sure you're doing that warm down walk. Make sure it's a nice brisk pace. Make sure that breathing is sort of coming back to normal. And most of all, just be fucking proud of yourself. You just ran for 27 minutes solid. It's absolutely amazing. Okay, you know what I'm going to say next. Make sure tomorrow you have that rest day. If you want to do a little bit of activity, you know, make sure it's not too strenuous, make sure you give your muscles time to recover. When you go home, make sure that you hydrate, make sure you have something to eat, refuel, you know, depending on what time of day it is, you'll know what your body needs, but just make sure you have a rest day tomorrow. And the day after tomorrow will be week 8, day 2, which will be another 27-minute jog. Happy days. So we are getting really, really close now to that 30-minute jog, and that is what it's all about. In week 8, day 2 and day 3, I'm going to be talking about some other really interesting topics. And in week 9, as I said, we have an interview with a friend of mine who is now super fit, a proper fitness freak, and is going to give you loads and loads of advice and insights into lots of different topics. And hopefully we'll lay a good foundation for you after you finish the Couch to 5K program. But until then, make sure you have your rest day, make sure you hydrate. Make sure you eat something if appropriate, and I will see you, or you will hear from me, week 8, day 2, which will be the day after tomorrow. So a huge well done for today. Don't forget to get in touch, give us a tag, give us a like, give us a share, give us a follow, give us a subscribe, give us a whatever on Instagram, Jogging for Cake, or get in touch by email, joggingforcake@gmail.com. Give us a rating on iTunes or any other podcast provider, and I'll see you soon. Bye-bye.